Yes, here we are. I'm sorry about last week, but we're back, Baruch Hashem. And as I said, we do want to continue with the story because the story is exciting. We won't get to the most exciting part today, but we'll keep moving anyways. And I just want to mention one thing before we go back inside to read more of the Psukim. This is also part of the general perspective of the story. So, you know, we're talking about these people that they're each one with their own complaints, Kayurach with his complaint, Dasan and Aviram with their complaints, the children of Reuven, everybody with their own complaints. Mainly they're complaining, obviously, about the leadership of Moshe, of Aaron. But as we'll see today, there's a few other things that come through. The fact that they have to be stuck in the desert, as we mentioned 2 weeks ago, and they won't be able to go into Israel, and that Moshe Rabbeinu promised them, and they won't be able to keep it. All these different things. But underneath it all, there's a spiritual component, and the idea is this: like this. This parasha, Parashas Korach, follows immediately after the previous parasha, Parasha Shlach, as we mentioned. Parasha Shlach was the story of the Meraglim, the spies, and we said what was, again, underneath the complaint of the spies, in the open way, when you just look at the story, it looks like they were afraid to go into Israel, which is partially true. You know, this is a very strong country, and we are a weak people, and, you know, all that kind of thing. And rather we'll stay in the desert, otherwise we'll die. But underneath that, we explained that there was a different motivation, and that was the motivation that the Jewish people felt that in the desert they can live such a beautiful spiritual life, sheltered with the clouds of glory, the man falling down, learning Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. What could be better? They were like in Gan Eden, you know. Why should they want to go from there into a land, exactly, and do farming, as we know, so difficult, backbreaking work, day and night, and not have time to learn? This was their real motivation. And we said that Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed to them, and that's what Hashem was trying to convey to them, and Yeshua and Kalev, that although that might sound so wonderful and beautiful, and it is such a, like, you know, glikach chaleben to live, you know, this kind of sheltered life and so spiritual, but that's not the purpose of creation. The whole purpose is to go into the land, to work the land, to live in the material world, and to elevate it, right? To bring Hashem into the normal day-to-day, into the mundane. That's what Hashem wants. Comes Korach now, and he says, oh, I hear your message, Moshe. Well, if this is your message, that the main purpose of a Jew and of a person is to live in this world, in the physical world, and to deal with the mundane, and thereby that means that the most important thing is the actual doing of the practical mitzvahs, and the learning is more of a preparation so that you know how to do the mitzvahs, but the main thing is the actual mitzvahs. If that's the case, Korach turns around to Moshe and he says, Lama tisnasu. Why do you think that you can be holier, or that you are holier than us? What does that mean? If mitzvahs is the main thing, your mitzvah, my mitzvah, it's the same mitzvah. Every Jew eats matzah on Pesach, right? You eat matzah on Pesach. My eating matzah, you're eating matzah, it's all the same matzah. What's different? The difference could be the intention that you have. But if the main thing is the actual eating of the matzah, well, then we're all equal. So then there shouldn't be this thing that you're a leader, Aaron's a Kohen Gadol. We don't need this hierarchy. We're all equal. That's what Korach turns around and says to Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the problem with that? What's wrong in his logic? So it's very faulty, because each one is going to one extreme, right? The Meraglim one extreme, Korach the other extreme. And Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is, we're going to read this pasuk again inside and then continue from here. We mentioned it and we spoke about it at length. One of the word phrases Moshe Rabbeinu says is, Boiker, in the morning, and you will know, you know, because he'll do a whole test, you will know who Hashem chose. What does it mean, Boiker, in this context? Boiker means morning is sunshine. Sunshine is when something is lit up. You know, it's interesting, because it's true, we can do the same act. It's true. But we know, and you can see it even on a simple level, even without going into all kinds of deep ideas, there's two people doing the same action, and it's very different. Even without all the, you know, even if you're not a tzaddik. You know, you can see it, and you know where you can see? You can see it in children very much, because children don't hide anything. So if you see a child doing something, one child, and even coming like into a preschool, one child, their face is lit up, they're excited about everything they're doing, they're all enthusiastic, they're all there, and another one is listless and is following the rules and apathetic, right? You have that. You can be doing, and he could be following all the rules, doing exactly what he has to be doing, coming on time, but it's just apathetic. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Korach, yeah, action is the main thing, it's true. That's what Hashem wants. But even in action, you need inspiration. And because you need inspiration, good morning, there is a hierarchy. Why? Why is there a hierarchy? Who's going to inspire you? Who's going to be there to inspire you? It is the Moshe of the generation. It is the Aaron, the Kohen Gadol. They are the ones who lead by example, and their mitzvahs, when they do it, because to them Hashem is such a reality, and they can see things so much clearer. They are like living in the morning, and for us sometimes we're stumbling at night, and whereas they, everything is so clear, what happens is that their mitzvahs are also lit up. They also do mitzvahs like morning. So therefore we need them. We need them to inspire us so that even our action will be done with inspiration. And that's the message that Moshe is trying to tell Korach. And he's hoping that Korach will get the message and pull out. Stop the complaint. Stop his whole rational, which was so mistaken. But Korach is so gung-ho on what he's doing that he doesn't take the message. Okay, so that's just on, as we said, I just wanted to mention, because that's a very beautiful concept, which also leads us, but now we're going to get back to the actual story, and let's see what really, really happened. So in front of you, I didn't number it, but if you look at page, let me just see which one it is. If you look at page 193 in your booklet, let's share the screen here. And here we have the psukim on page 193. There we go. Okay, because we read the first few psukim, and today, and as you look how he says, and Moshe Rabbeinu heard what they said, right? They came and they're all complaining. Moshe Rabbeinu hears, he falls on his face. And in Pasuk Hey, Vayidaber el Korach ve'el kol hadasai, and he speaks to Korach and to the whole congregation, and to his whole congregation, Lamar saying, as we said, Boiker in the morning, V'yoida Hashem, and Hashem will make known Es Asher Loi, who is his, the Es HaKadosh, and who is holy. So you see, this is that's the point. In other words, we need the morning, we need the clarity to know what is truly holy, and then we take that holiness and we bring it into the mundane. But over here, what is he saying? What is morning? Because on page 194, V'hikriv, what is going to happen? How are we going to know? V'hikriv, Elav, and he's going to bring close to him, the Es Asher Yivchar Bai, the one that he will choose, Yakrib Elov, he will bring close to him. How? Let's look at the next pasuk before we go into detail. How are we going to know in the morning who's who and what's what and who's correct in their complaint? In other words, is it Moshe and Aaron who are correct, or is it Korach, Dasan and Aviram and all the other people? So look what he says, the famous test he's going to do in pasuk Vav on page 194. Zois Asu, this is what you shall do. Kulachem machtos, take for yourselves fire pans, Korach v'chol adasai, Korach and his entire assembly. We have to see, the wording is very strange, and we'll see soon why it's worded this way. You see what he's doing, he's actually taking Korach and almost out of the rest of every, you know, he's high, even though they're all coming officially as one group, but Moshe Rabbeinu points out that he knows who's the one instigating. He knows who's the one rallying everybody up, and it's Korach. So he puts him separately, and he says, now we'll know. So who's going to, what do they have to do? They have to bring these pans. I'm going to read one or two more psukim, and then I'll come back to the Rashi's. And in Pasuk Zayin, Usnu Bahen Esh, what should you do with these pans? What's the pans going to help? So you're going to put fire. And what are you going to put? It's very interesting. And it's, don't forget, this is going to be done in the morning. This was in the evening, and this is going to be done the next morning. And v'simu alei and k'tayres, and place incense upon them, lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, when mochar, tomorrow, v'hoyo ha'ish, and it will be the man, asher yivchar Hashem, the one that Hashem will choose, HaKadosh, he is the Holy One. Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, there is much to you, the sons of Levi. This is an interesting expression. Just on a simple level, you can see Moshe Rabbeinu is like, as we said, he's so upset. It's like, it's not a frustration out of anger, but it's just a frustration out of, he's like so afraid of what's going to happen. And he's trying so hard to put them and to jolt them. And that's why he says, you know, you have so much. What are you doing? Think, stop and think what you are doing, the sons of Levi. But we'll see the Mefarshim will tell us a little bit more about the message. And Vayomer Moshe el Korach, and Moshe says to Korach, Shimu na b'nei Levi, listen to me, the sons of Levi. Before we go further, I just want to go back to see the Rashis here. Very interesting, as you can see. So we don't know yet exactly, but we can see that he's telling them to find these fire pans. It's not just Korach. Korach, Dasan, Aviram, and the 250 men, and Aaron. We'll see. He's going to put Aaron there too. They're all going to come with these fire pans, and they're going to fill it with incense. And obviously, the one that the fire descends upon, that's the one that Hashem chooses. So it's going to be a big show, and it's mamish going to be as clear as day who is the one that Hashem chooses. Now it's interesting, just before we go further, just on a simple, I mean, if we think about the story, many times in life, I mean, hopefully not many times, but sometimes in life, you know, we might have a rift with somebody else. Sometimes we really don't know who's right. You know, each person really feels right. It can happen. You know, both people can look at, you know, they each one could have their own perspective.
It could be three sides.
It's 100%. But sometimes we know we're wrong. You know, we were hurt, but we know we're not right. So we'll go to a certain point, but usually a person will come to a certain point and they'll stop and think and they'll say, maybe there is another way to look at it. I might be a little right, but they're more right. And you'll pull back. Right, that's you, and especially when there's so much at stake. And even if you are right, even if both are right, what usually, I mean, hopefully, most of the time, what happens is you get to a point and you say, is it worth it? What am I gonna gain? Even if I'm right, I might be right, but look what I'm gonna lose if I keep going the way I'm going. So better to be, how do you say it? Better not to be right, but to be just, things should work out. It should be good for us. Right? That's what people do because it's worth it. And over here, it's such an interesting thing because here, what is at stake is so tremendous. Everything is at stake. The unity of the Jewish people, the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, which represents Hashem, but then their own lives because Moshe is clear with them. You do this and what's going to happen? You're going to die. And it's amazing how they just keep going. And this is fascinating how also a lesson in human nature that sometimes we back ourselves into such a corner that we just don't know how to get out of it. And it's a very sad place to be in because then you're really doomed. So let's see how Rashi is. Let's see just simply, just on a simple level. So going back to page 193, right? That's where we started. Just want to see something here on the Rashi. Let's see Rashi 5, Rashi Baker. Hey, very interesting. Now, there's a big question. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu wait till morning? Okay, it's a big question. Because this machlokes was simmering and it was terrible. It was a terrible thing, right? Giving it another few hours is quite scary. Who knows what's going to happen over the next few hours, as we'll see what actually did happen. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu says, let's wait till the morning. Why? So Rashi says, Ata eis shichrusu. Very interesting. Now it's a time of intoxication, lanu, for us. We'll see in a minute what that means. And it is improper to appear before him, meaning to appear before Hashem, because he's asking them to bring these pans with keteres and to come to the Mishkan. But we can't because we are intoxicated. As he says, v'hu hayam miskaven l'tchaisam, really what was Moshe intending? He was intending to delay them. Shema yachzeru bahem, maybe, perhaps, they will think about it overnight and cool down a little bit and pull out. What is the intoxication part? Such a funny thing. It says, in those days, now maybe people have rehashed this custom, at dinner, people would have a glass of wine. And this was evening. So they had just had their dinner. So they had a glass of wine. Moshe Rabbeinu says, with a glass of wine, it's not permissible and it's not befitting to come stand before Hashem. Fascinating. Okay, but obviously it means something much deeper. This kind of intoxication, what he means is, this intoxication is like you are so intoxicated, it means you can't think rationally. You're so immersed in your, that you are so right. It's like so emotional. You're so emotionally charged. As I sleep on it, maybe you'll calm down, and then in the morning, you'll pull back. So that's the idea. We know it went the exact opposite, because things can go either way. The night, unfortunately, served for Kairach to rile himself up and everybody else around him. We'll see. He used it in the most negative way. Moshe was giving him an out, and he took it in the worst way. Again, also, such an amazing... All these things, simple, but such profound lessons, because that's how it is in life. Sometimes, things don't work out exactly at the time we want them to. Lots of times that happens. So there's two ways to look at it. Either we can get really frustrated because we wanted it a certain time, or we can look at it that Hashem must have a message, that maybe we have to rethink something. Maybe there's something we might not even know why, but it's a good time for us to take a deep breath and say, it's not our time, it's Hashem's time. And we have no idea why, but it's for the better. It's for our benefit. But we have to look at it the right way. Otherwise, we can end up, as we see, using it in the wrong way totally, using that hand of Hashem in the wrong way, and it could lead to something much worse. And that straight away comes from frustration, anger, that leads to no good. Okay, so let's see how Rashi in the next one. Okay, so you're going to know who's from the Levite. So if you look on page 194, let's see the Rashi here. Sorry. Okay, and so we're going to know who is belongs, which jobs belong to the Levium, and which jobs, as we say, of Es HaKadosh, who's the holy one for the priesthood, obviously, the Kohanim. And we're talking about Aaron. Okay, then I wanted to see, this is important, the Medrash. So this is in the middle of page 194. Midrashai. So like this, what is Boiker, morning? Moshe Rabbeinu uses the word in the morning. And I know we've said this in other, I just want to read it here in Rashi. Amar lehem Moshe. Moshe was giving them a message. He said to them, Gvulos chilek HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'ilamai. The Holy One, blessed is He, divided the world into boundaries. Yechoylem atem la'apaych Boiker le'erev. Can you turn morning into evening? Kein tuchlu levatel azu. So will you be able to nullify this priesthood? It's impossible. Just pull back. Shenemar vayi erev vayi boker. Right, Hashem was the one that instituted that it's morning and it's evening, evening and it's morning. That's how the world runs. And what else did Hashem do? Vayavdel. And this resulted from Hashem's divided, right? That's what happened. Hashem divided the night, the day, the water, upper waters, the lower waters. This is the whole concept of division. This is what Kairach is all about in the negative way. But there is a good thing also. There's a division that's what's fascinating here. Everything is so gray because it's not absolute. You see, it's an amazing thing because Kairach wants to cause division. But Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, there is division, but only the way Hashem instituted it, not the way we decide. It's only Hashem's division. So there's night, there's day, there's a Kohen, there's a Levi, and there's a Yisroel. But I have to fit into the division that Hashem has made. And when I do that, what ends up happening is that I live a life which is in sync with Hashem's will. And then the division doesn't actually divide us, but it ends up uniting us. And that's the powerful message that Moshe is trying to give Kairach, as we can see, but he's not buying it. Okay, then we say, and that's why he says, yeah, Aaron, he was the one that was, he's separated to be holy. Okay, now, very interesting in Pasuk 6, what did we say in Pasuk Vav? That you should take yourself these pans. So Rashi says, why did he say this to them? We go to page 195, Rashi says, Amar lahem, and this is also very, very beautiful language that Rashi uses. Very powerful, and as we know with Rashi, he's quite cryptic, so his words are not extra, but here he gives us a very powerful message. He says, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Kairach. Amar lahem, he said to them, B'darchei ha-goyim, among the ways of the other nations, yesh nimusim harbe. There are many, and nimusim is an interesting word. Nimusim are like ways that you say, sometimes people use the word for menschlichkeit, but in this context, it's in a negative sense. It's things that people do because that's what's accepted. That's like the way of the world, the way that the culture accepts. That's what you do, right? So he says there are many rites. So there are many cultural things that are acceptable by the nations of the world. And what he's implying over here is that they have many. He says, look, the Kaimrim Harbe and many clergymen. The Ein Kula Miskaptsim Bebayis Echad. And they don't all gather together in one house of worship. Anu, Ein Lanu Ella Hashem Echad. We only have one Hashem. Arayn Echad, one ark. And Taira Achas, one Taira. Mizbeach Echad, one altar. And Kohen Gadol Echad, and one Kohen Gadol. It's a very powerful message. One word that's missing here because it didn't come in, but we know what comes together with all this. We always say, there's one God, there's one Jewish nation, and there's one land of Israel, right? We are one. This very beautiful idea that there is a common, there's like this running underneath everything, there is a oneness. That's what we say. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Our life, we do many mitzvahs, and we do have night and day, it's true, and even fluctuating in different circumstances, but there's a oneness that runs through everything. And there are certain things that Hashem has decided that there's only one of, and that's it, there's no negotiation there. That's what he's saying. It's a very powerful message, and it's a very, it's strong language that Moshe Rabbeinu is using. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, and what do you want? The atem and you, masayim v'chamishim ish mevakshim kuna gedela, 250 men, you all seek the high priesthood. And the famous message that we started with at the beginning, what does Moshe say to them? Afani reitze bekach, I too want this. In other words, it's not a bad thing to want it. But the bad thing is to want it to actually happen the way you want it. You have to want. You want to be, you know, you want to come close to Hashem. But then you follow instructions. I know it's not very politically correct to say, but you know nowadays, I mean, like many women, they like the woman of the wall, whatever it is. They want. You want to wear a talis, so you want. But that's not the way we do it. We might not understand it. Sometimes we could understand. Doesn't matter. We do what Hashem tells us to do because that's the way we come close to Him. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Yes, spirituality is wonderful. And it feels so good. Some people say, it makes me feel so good. But that's not the point. It's not what it feels like. It's one God with one Torah and one Kohen Gadol and one Moshe Rabbeinu and one Torah. That's the bottom line. And the Torah tells us. So it's not how we feel. It's what we've been written to do. And that's what we do. So that's what he's saying to them. And it's Moshe expresses so beautifully, even I want, but too bad. I want, but I can't, because that's not what Hashem said. So that's the point. The point's a very strong point. And actually, as we said, the beautiful thing is that Moshe is expressing, also, you can see we don't need to see it, but you can see the brilliance and how Moshe is trying so hard to get them, to jolt them, and yet it's not working, but it's actually incredible the patience that Moshe Rabbeinu has here to deal with them in such a gentle way. Initially, he does. Gets a bit harsher after because they're just not listening, but he does have patience, and it's quite amazing for him to be able to come to them, because what they're doing is, as we know, one of the worst things possible. Okay, then he says like this, and so that's why he says, here you have Tashmish Chaviv Mikol, the service which is the dearest of all, and this is the Keteris. Maybe next week we'll discuss a little bit more about the Keteris, why specifically that is being used, but we know that it's very precious and it's very dangerous. We know what happened with the Keteris. That's where Nadav and Avihu died, with the Keteris. The Keteris was also what's used when Aaron came, not Aaron, but when Moshe Rabbeinu killed them, you know, by the Chet HaEgel, whatever. It's always the Keteris. The Keteris seems to be a very dangerous thing on the one hand and a very powerful and holy thing on the other. If it's misused, it's wrong. And again, that's what the message he's giving them also. Very strong message. That we have... Exactly right, Muhammad. That's exactly the point. That's amazing. Because we can do all the mitzvahs, but if you do them wrong, it's not going to come out the right way. You can't do them the way you feel. It's not like, you know, when I follow a recipe and, you know, you just do it a little adjustment here and there. It doesn't come out the same way. Sometimes you're lucky, but lots of times you're not, right? So that's how it works. It doesn't work. It's not going to work. That's the message. So he says, and look how he says over here, look, this is interesting. He says, he calls it, it's the most precious, but v'sam hamoves nosun b'sayplay. There is a deadly drug put into it. It's interesting, so the different explanations on Rashi say, some say maybe there's a type of salt that could be dangerous, or some people say, just as you said, if you put in the wrong amounts, if you just do it adjusted the wrong way, it's not anything really wrong, but it's just the wrong amount, already it becomes a deadly poison. Okay, and what happened? We know, Shabay Nisrafu, Nadav v'Aviyu, by which Nadav and Aviyu were burned, L'fichach Hisra Bahem, this is why he warned them, V'hoyah ha'ish asher yifchar Hashem, then the man whom Hashem will choose, Hu HaKadosh, he is the Holy One. What does that mean? He says, Kfar Hu Biktushasa, he's already in his state of holiness. Now, do we not know that the one that Hashem chose, who HaKadosh is the Holy One? What is Moshe saying? Amar Ella, Amar Lahem Moshe. But what Moshe is saying to them is, Hareini Aimer Lachem, I am telling you, Sheloi Tischaivu, so that you should not be liable. Hold back, it's dangerous where you're going. Mi Sheyifchar Bai, that he whom Hashem will choose, Yetzei Chai, shall emerge from the incense service alive, the Kulchem Oivdin, but the rest of you will die. Moshe says it very clearly. We can't say they didn't know what they were getting into, because I'll tell you why. Because you might think, I forgot the example they give, there's a time when Hashem chose, let me just see, there was another place where Hashem chose that he didn't, I'm just trying to think, where you made a choice, but not that you died, but that you just knew who was right. So you might think that all it's going to do is going to show that Aaron is the Kohen Gadol, and they're all wrong. Moshe is telling them, no, this is much more dangerous. You're really playing with fire. Here, the one that's right is going to live, but the one that are wrong, they're going to die. There's not, you're not getting out of this.
Oh,
unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable. Yeah, this is what we want to know. But you know, Hannah, we do. We see it in life. It happens. Unfortunately, it does. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. I forgot. Maybe we'll see it soon. Because it was such a good example. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, let's see the next one. Machtes, the fire pans. He says, Kalim, what is fire pans? Chaisen behem gecholim. These are implements with which they rake off the coals. And they have a handle. That's what it looked like. And that's what they were supposed to use. Okay. Let's see. Okay, let's go to the next page on 196. Now we said, Rav Lachem, right, B'nai Levi. Okay, so this is, Chana here, look, I'll tell you what he said. This is what you're asking. Unbelievable. He says, Rashi asks it very straight. So he says like this. There is much to you, sons of Levi. Dover Godol Amarti Lachem. I have told you a great serious matter, right? Like, you're going to die. V'loi Tipshim Hayu. Were they not fools? Shekach Hisra Bahem, because Moshe Rabbeinu warned them in this matter, V'kiblu Aleihem L'karev, and nevertheless, what do they still do? They still undertake to offer this incense. Ella Heim Chotu Al Nafshayisam, but they sinned against their souls. He says they're responsible for their own death because of their sin. Shenemar Esmachtes Achatom Ha'ilah B'Nafshayisam, the fire pans of these sinners against their souls. So, interesting, it seems, 250, we don't have such a big question. I mean, they're not stupid, they're not really fools, but they were obviously caught in their foolishness. But the bigger question, as we said at the beginning, Kairach is not only not a fool. Kairach was, besides being one of the richest men, apparently one of the most brilliant men that ever lived. He was an incredibly intelligent man. And here comes, how could he have done this? And here we see something very beautiful that Rashi says, something powerful again, which also in life, because it's not, life is not black and white. Sometimes it is such a small thing that lets us get caught up, and we don't want somebody to point it out to us, and it would be nice if we allowed them to. And let's see what was Kairach's mistake. So he says like this. So Rashi puts it perfectly. Rashi says, V'kairach shepika chaya, Pikeachaya Kairach was a clever person. Ma ra'a, what is it that he saw? Lishtusse, such a nonsense. So he says, Einai hitatu. His eyes led him to make the mistake. Sometimes it's not good to see too far. He saw too far. And what did he see? He saw in the future. And unfortunately, he misinterpreted it. What did he see? He saw a great chain of descendants emerging from him. Who did he see? Shmuel. You know, it's amazing. Shmuel had, it says on the bottom, direct 16 generations, direct patrilineal descent from Korach. We'll discuss later how that happened, because officially Korach was all swallowed up, but his children, we say some of them, whatever. Point is, Shmuel, and we know, what do we say about Shmuel? Shmuel is equal in greatness to Moshe and Aaron, right? That's what it says. So he saw Shmuel coming from him. Okay. So therefore, Amar, so he said to himself, Bishviloi ani nimla, because of him I shall escape. The Esrim v'arba mishmarais ayin dais levnei vanav, but not only Shmuel. And then he saw that there would be 24 watches. We're talking about the watches of the Kohanim and the Levim. You know, there were special mishmarais, special designated, and he had many of them came from him that were had such high positions in the Beis HaMikdash in the future, and he saw that they came from him. So he says, look, he says, Omar, so he says to himself, let me just see how he says, he says, not only that, Kulam misnabim Baruch HaKodesh, all of them prophesying with divine inspiration, Shenemar, Kol Eile Bonim LeHaman. All of these were sons of Haman, which we say Haman is the seer of the king in the words of Hashem. And what that means is they are all the children coming down all the way from Korach. Amar Efshar, so he says, what did Korach say? Kol Hagdul HaZais, all of this greatness, Asida Lama Mimenu, is destined to be established from me. V'ani Edayim, even if I will remain silent, or can I remain silent? In other words, don't I also have something to say? Don't I have a position to play? Does it not mean that there is something great in me? If these great people come from me, don't I deserve a special mention, a special honor? And it's an interesting thing, because his logic wasn't totally faulty. It was only faulty a little bit. It's true. These great people were coming from him. That must mean that there's something special about him, because where else would they come from? And yet again, as we said, Moshe Rabbeinu says, there's one Torah and there's one God. And we don't understand lots of things. Even if your descendants are great, that doesn't mean that it's you that gets the position. And that's sometimes hard for a person. And this is what Korach needed to understand, and he just wouldn't get it. It's quite amazing. So he wasn't a fool, but he was just caught up in this big word, in the arrogance. That was it. It was that little bit of arrogance, that ego, and that he couldn't see clearly. It clouds everything. And that's what he says. Just to finish, he says, that's why, so he says, this is why he joined with the others as partners, in order to come to attain that status of priesthood, because he had heard from the mouth of Moshe, because what did he say? It's interesting, even the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to dissuade them, this Korach took as words to strengthen himself. How? Because he heard from Moshe that they're all going to get lost, right? All of those who offer the incense will perish. But one, ve'echad nimlat, one would escape. So what does he say? Who's the one? Himself. It's amazing how it distorts everything. It's incredible. But you see, that's what it does. It's just clouds. And he says, Asher Yivchar Hashem. That's right, the one Hashem chooses is the one that's holy. So he says, of course, it's me. Obviously. Like, almost sounds like Haman, but it's obviously not really Haman. It's actually in a certain sense a holy, not holy, but spiritual, but not godly. So he made a mistake, the Tal of Atzma, and he hung it upon himself. He assumed that he was the holy one that Moshe Rabbeinu was referring to. V'loy, the key words, V'loy ra'a yafe. It's interesting language. They translated it, didn't see well. But yafe doesn't just mean well. He didn't see prettily, if you want to say nicely. He didn't see clearly. Yafa meaning he didn't see with God's eyes. He was looking with his own clouded vision. One, we are all subjective. If you look from your own eyes, it's clouded. That's why we have to always ask. If we're in such a position and we have a dilemma and we don't know, the best thing is to ask somebody else. And even if that person is not even so smart sometimes, they might even be less than us. But you know what? They can see objectively. That's so important. And here Korach didn't allow himself to hear what Moshe was saying, an objective voice, Well, he, and that's what caught guy. It was his downfall. As he says, Lefisha Banav, and what happened? His children actually did shuva, right? And that's why they were the ones who actually led to this greatness. Maisha Hayaraya, but Maisha did see correctly. And what did he see? He saw that Kairach would perish. And why? Again, comes back, and we'll see it comes through again. Why is Maisha able to see correctly? Because what is Maisha? Maisha is the Anav Mikol Adam, humility. The only way to have clarity is with humility. If there's no humility, there's no clarity. And everything is mumbled up and jumbled. And in this story, what comes through is also very beautiful, is we see something amazing that you have to look a little bit deeper to see it, but you notice that who are they really attacking? So they're attacking Moshe, but more than Moshe, it's Aaron, right? Because the Kohen Gadol, that's really what Kairach wants. He wants the kuna, that's his whole thing. So interesting, the one who seems to be silent throughout is Aaron himself. He doesn't get up and say, what are you guys doing? And it's not me, and I didn't choose it myself, and it was Hashem. He doesn't defend himself at all. Not a word from Aaron. And he even doesn't want to even go, but Moshe says you have to go with the pan, so he goes with the pan. So again, here it shows you the humility of Aaron, and that's, again, why he's the one that's different to Kairach. He's the one chosen to be the Kohen Gadol. So it comes through so strongly. And this is really the powerful message that comes through here. And quickly, Rav Lachem, there is much to you. Davar, Moshe Rabbeinu, again, he's trying to tell them, what do you want? Davar Gadol Nitaltem Ba'atzmachem. You have taken a great deal, a serious matter upon yourself. Lachleik ala Kadosh Baruch Hu, by arguing against Hashem. He's trying to tell them, you think you're arguing against me? No, it's against Hashem. Realize what you're doing and stop. Don't continue. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu tries to tell them. Okay, now, let me just see. I think we read the name. Let's just see the Rashi and eight, then we're going to see the Pesukim more. But Yemer Moshe al Kairach, right? He says, Shimunah b'nei Levi, listen, you sons of Levi. Now he says, because until now he was addressing Kairach, now his chiladaber ima Moshe began by speaking with Kairach v'aramrakim, gentle language. Kevan shera'u k'shei ayref, once he saw him being obstinate, then Omar, he said to himself, ad shalai yishtatfu sh'ar ha-shevet, I better stop him before he gets the rest of the tribe. And they will also be lost with him, like he's going to convince the rest of Shevet Levi. So that's why, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Adaber gamel kulam, I will speak also to the rest of them. His chil is zaris behem. So therefore, he started to tell them strongly, Shimuna b'nei Levi. So he's not only addressing Kairach, he's addressing the whole Shevet Levi. He's afraid of the impact, the influence that Kairach will have on the rest of the tribe. Okay, and then pasuk ites. Let me see something. We read this one. So I'm just trying to see which pasuk we read until. Yeah, okay, could we say that? I don't think we read pasuk tes inside. I just want to read pasuk tes and yud, or yud for sure we didn't read. Okay, vayakre oischa, and he will bring, oh yeah, we did bring you close, we did read this pasuk. So going to page 198, right, he says, kol achecha b'nei Levi, all your brothers, the b'nei Levi, itach with you, ubikashtem gam kuna, you're also seeking priesthood. So therefore, lochein ato v'chol adoscha. So you and all of your, all of your assembly, hanay adem al Hashem, who are joining together against Hashem, and on Aaron. Look how he says it. Amazing. On Hashem, against Hashem and Aaron. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Mahu kisaloinu alav. What is he that you cause to protest against him? Amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing up for the honor of Aaron. You see, because Aaron's not defending himself at all here. Only Moshe has what to say. Vayishlach Moshe. Now, up until now, he was talking to Kairach, and he was talking to the rest of the Shevet Levi. But who wasn't he talking to yet? Who wasn't there? Interesting. Dasan and Aviram. So there's interesting opinions why. So we might say like this, if you think about it, Moshe, remember we said where he camped on the east over there, I remember in that picture, and then right next to him is where Kairach is. So it could be that Moshe is able to talk to Kairach because he's very, physically, he's close to him. And then of course, the rest of the tribe of Levi is there. But the one that's not so close, they're underneath, is Dasan and Avirim. So practically, if Moshe wants to speak to them, he has to call for them. So now he wants to call for them. And here we come also, it's quite scary, this part of the story, because this is absolute incredible what happens. So what happens? First, Vayishlach Moshe. So Moshe sends the Kray Dasan and Avirim to call Dasan and Avirim, B'nei Eliyav, the sons of Eliyav, V'yoymru, and how do they respond? Loi Nale. Unbelievable. The chutzpah is on a level like crazy. Moshe, it says clearly, the pasuk actually repeats, because who else is sending for them? Moshe was just talking. It tells us that Moshe lowered himself, Moshe, the Moshe Rabbeinu, and he sends it as if from himself, which means the reason is he felt if he is sending, then perhaps they will come, because it's an honor to be summoned by Moshe. So it's, in other words, it's not beneath their dignity to come. It's like, wow, you know who's calling us? Moshe himself. Couldn't be anything greater. He's trying so hard. And what do they say? Loi nala, we're not going to go up. Just out of interest, why do they use the word go up? I mean, where are they that they have to go up to? It's interesting because you see such a beautiful thing. You know, we use the word now. We say aliyah, you make aliyah. Because to go to Israel, even if you're going from somewhere higher, you always say aliyah because that's tight. Over here also, to go to the Mishkan, to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's always an aliyah, right? Even Dasan and Aviram recognize that. And that's why they say we're not going up. We're not going up to meet Moshe, even if it's not physically up, but spiritually up, but we're not going up. Okay, they refuse. Okay. Hamatam, what do they say? Even worse, they don't just say we're not going up. Now they give him a whole speech over there. And it's a terrible, terrible speech. Hamat, is it not enough? Like it's not enough for you. Ki heli sonu me'eretz avas chalav u'dvash, right? That you took us out from a land flowing with milk and honey. Lahamiseinu b'midbar, to have us die in the desert. Ki tistarer aleinu gam histarer. Such strong language. That you seek to dominate us, even to dominate further. And the Kli Yakar points out something very powerful here. You know, they're saying something quite amazing here. It's really amazing. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, took us out of, first of all, out of Mitzrayim, where we were slaves, but nevertheless, whatever. And you took us into this desert. What did you promise us? We're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's why we left. Where are we? Stuck in the desert. We're going to die here. So now, you think, they say to Moshe, like they're underneath all the words comes through, you think you might be able to promise us, Dasan and Aviram, some position to calm us down, right? To appease us. You'll bribe us, and then we won't convince the rest of, you know, the people that we have to continue the rebellion. Not only will you appease us with some small position, but maybe you'll even, you know, tell us that, okay, so you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, but your children, when they go in, I promise they'll get a good portion in the land. So they say to Moshe, first of all, we don't want to be appeased. We're not taking bribes from you. Look, you want to dominate over us? Even to dominate further? In other words, you think you can give us something small and we'll be happy with that. But even worse, they say to Moshe, you didn't even keep your word up until now. So how can we hold you? You're going to promise that our children are going to get something in the land. We don't believe you. We don't trust you. You haven't earned our trust. Look, you took us out and we're stuck here. So this is like, it's a real chutzpahdik way of talking, but this is how they're acting. You can imagine how Moshe, and how Moshe realizes who he's dealing with. He says, "Af loy el eretz avas chalav u'dvash," right? Not even to the land of milk flowing with milk and honey, heavy son, you didn't even bring us. "Vatitein lanu," nor did you give us nachla sodeh, right? A field, v'kerem and a vineyard. "Ha'ene ha'anoshim ha'heim tinaker loy na'alef." Very, very strong and despicable language. He says, even if you would put out the eyes of those men, we shall not go up. What do you mean, put out the eyes of those men? What does that mean? So just on a simple level, like pull the wool over their eyes. You see where the expression comes from here. Deceive. That's what he meant. Deceive. Exactly the language they use. According to some people, they say, even you're going to gouge out our eyes. In other words, no matter what you're going to do to us, we are standing firm because we have a... What's the word? We're waging a holy war. We're right. And we're doing it for everybody else. You know, all the usual words that people use. And this is what they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, quite powerful language. And this, it's scary, it's actually extremely scary. Let me just see, let's see if there was a Rashi here. Okay.
Yes. After the spies.
Yes, that's what it is. That's what the Ramban says is after, and that's why they're like, look, we're stuck, you know? That's it. Look at you. You took us out, and now we're stuck, and we're not even going, so we can't trust you, even though it's their own fault. Whatever, yeah. That's so it's all one you know, grudge on top of another. Okay, I just want to see. Yes, it says even in the eyes gouging. I just want to see if the okay. That's let's see the next pasuk. So let's see, like, go to page 200. Okay, now, how does Moshe react? Obviously, now with this language, it's already too much. Up until Moshe had patience, and he was trying so hard. Vayichar leMoshe, and it doesn't just say vayichar. Vayichar leMoshe ma'od, and Moshe was very well. Either you can translate it here. They say was very distressed. Or he was very angry. He's like angry in a sense where it's so pained. Vayomer, and he says, El Hashem, look at the words he uses. Such strong message he says. He talks to Hashem now. Al Tefen El Minchasam. Do not turn to their mincha, to their gift offering. Loi chamor echad mehem nosasi. I have not taken a donkey from any of them. The loy hare oisi, and I have not wronged, he says, I have not even wronged echad mehem, even one of them. Fascinating. What does it mean, don't look at their mincha? What is he talking about? Which mincha? Such an interesting thing. So there's different ways of explaining this. Their prayer. Very good. Yes, excellent. So some people say simply because, you know, they think they're justified and they'll turn to Hashem and Davin. So Moshe says, don't listen to them. Block your ears. Like he's almost telling Hashem, don't listen to anything. Look at them. They're just coming with negative intentions. According to other opinions, very beautiful, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh has a very fascinating explanation. Even before the Aruch Chaim, the Mefarshim say, you know, every single day they used to bring a carbon tumid in the morning and a carbon tumid in the afternoon. That's why we say some parts of davening corresponding to that. The carbon tumid was a communal carbon, which incorporated within it, it represented, it had a part for every single Jew, right? It was one carbon, but the idea was that this carbon is brought on behalf of every individual as a group, but every individual. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, when we bring the carbon mincha in the morning, the carbon tamid, don't look at the part that represents these people. In other words, it's bad. They're coming with bad intention. Don't take anything from them. Don't look at them in any way favorably. Look at what they really are and how they're really acting. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh explains beautifully, he says that, even sometimes when somebody is bad, well, usually it's not that way because most people have good and bad in them. But he says, only a tzaddik knows, and over here Moshe Rabbeinu saw, that they were so, how do you say, it's like so sullied, so impure, that he said to Hashem that there's no, even in the things that look pure, it's not pure. Don't take it from them. And why? And it's interesting because even though we know that Hashem, actually, the fascinating thing it says, that Hashem doesn't lump everything, you know. Hashem looks at every individual person, and if we do good, he takes the good, even if everything else is bad. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu say, if there's something good in them, you shouldn't look at it, you should overlook it, because of all these terrible things that they're doing? So the Aruch Chaim says, because the tzaddik has the power, actually, to tell Hashem sometimes what to do. We don't understand what that means, but Moshe was saying, overlook even the little bit of good that they have. You know why? Because even that's tainted. It's tainted. Because if you see the way they're acting, it's so negative. It's absolutely pure negativity. And that's how Moshe Rabbeinu feels about them here. And he's begging Hashem not to even look. And yet, amazing. So it looks like, oh my gosh, Moshe is so harsh and he's taking it personally. That's why, what does Moshe say? I'm not taking anything personally. I never took anything personally. Even a donkey I never took from them. What does that mean? So the Rashi says simply, you know, it's interesting. When Moshe Rabbeinu came, you know, when he left Midian and he came to join the Jewish people. Why did he come? He was living a very peaceful, secure life. Out of Egypt, he's coming into Mitzrayim to save the Jewish people. He's putting his life in danger, entering Mitzrayim again. How does he come? He rides on a donkey. So we all know now that anybody who does something, it's the way of the world. If you have a job and you incur business expenses, you take a, never mind tax deductible, but not only that, you will claim it back. Right? If you take an Uber for work, well, you keep the receipt and you go to your boss and you say you have to pay me back, right? Because that was for work. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I took my own personal donkey and I didn't ask the Jews to reimburse me for anything. Now, why does that, what's the point? The point of that is, obviously, there's no personal stuff here. I give myself totally to them. I don't at all expect anything from them. So for sure, this is not a personal vendetta over here. Definitely not. It's only for your sake, Hashem, for your honor, and for the negative that they're doing to the whole Jewish people. It's quite a powerful thing. But also, even on a simpler level, you see where Moshe Rabbeinu's pain is coming from. Moshe says, I took nothing from them. And here, all they want and all they're claiming is that I'm taking all the honor and all the glory. I took nothing. Only exactly what you dictated. That's what I did. So what's going on here? That's how Moshe feels. It's like such an unjustified, you know, it's like that feeling of how everything's so turned in the wrong way. It's understandable, and especially if we put into context, you know, we say Moshe was so humble. The other thing we talk about Moshe, what does Moshe stand for? Two things, humility and truth. Emes. Moshe Emes. When somebody is truth, anything which is not truth, they can't go. It's like the worst thing. And this is absolute falsehood here. Here they're just twisting everything in such a horrible way. So it just doesn't go. Moshe can't take it. It's just not going. So this is a very big problem Moshe has. I know today we did quite simply, but it's just fascinating to see how the underlying story. I'll just read two more psukim, and next week we'll see a few more of the mefarshim and some actually beautiful ones. Feel bad it's like so negative and so harsh, but I just want to see, just to read quickly the next part, just to see the end. I just wanted to see what happens here. Vayomer Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu Taka says to Korach, Ata v'chol adascha, in Pasuk Tes Zayin, it's on page 201, you and your whole congregation, Heyu lefanai, should be before me, Heyu lefnei Hashem, Ata v'hein v'arayin machar, as we say, you and they and Aaron tomorrow. And what will happen? So each one man will take his pan, and will put the keteris on them, and you shall bring it before Hashem, near Hashem. Each man his pan, so very specific. Each one will have their own individual pan, each of the 250 men, and you and Aaron, each one his own. It's interesting, it's quite repetitive. We'll see next week why. Very specific, each one their own. Each man will take his pan. And they will put a fire upon them. And they'll put a keteris. And they will stand at the entrance to the Oyel Mayed. Moshe v'Aaron, and Moshe and Aaron. Vayakel aleim Korach. And Korach, and it's interesting language, Korach gathered upon them. What does that mean, he gathered upon them? You would say Korach, you should say El, to them. No, because what Korach did that night, as we said, Moshe gave him the night. Hopefully he would think it over and realize where he's making a mistake. Instead, what did Korach do that entire night? He went around to the entire Jewish people, and boy, did he rev them all up to the point, and I want to read it next week inside, the Ramban tells us, as we mentioned once, that every Jew had a little bit of a question. Now there was no clarity by anybody. That's what Korach managed to accomplish that night. That's what it says, that they came on Moshe, right? Like almost the Yakel Aleim Korach. So he like gathered them, Korach gathered them upon, like almost against Moshe Rabbeinu, Eskol Ha'eda, the entire congregation. We're El, and on page 202, Pesach Oyel Meir, to the entrance of the Oyel Mayed, by Yeirak Vayit Hashem El Kol Ha'eda, And the glory of Hashem appeared to the entire assembly. And I just want to read one more pasuk. This is amazing. Vayidavra Hashem al Moshe. So it looks like to Moshe Rabbeinu, what's going to happen now? We know. They're going to all be killed, right? In a minute, this is going to happen. But look what Moshe Rabbeinu does. This is amazing, because up until now, you see Moshe is like almost, he's a kanoi. He's like being so, how do you say, he's being so strong in a certain sense against Korach, right? But look what here, such an amazing thing. And Moshe turns, he badlu mitoicha eida hazoi. So Hashem says to Moshe and to Aaron, separate yourselves from amongst this congregation. Va'achale oisam karega. And I will destroy them in an instant. And what does Moshe do? Vayipnu and Aaron, vayiplu apneim, they fall on their faces. Vayoimru, and they say to Hashem, Kel elekei haruchais lechol basar. God, and we'll explain these words next time more clearly. Hashem of the spirits of all flesh. In other words, Hashem who knows what's going on in the heart of every person. Ha'ish echad yechte. Will one person sin? But you will be angry at the entire congregation. Moshe is worried that what is Hashem going to do now? Going to kill the entire Jewish people. And he stands up to defend them. So you see the same Moshe who a minute ago tells Hashem, don't have rachmanis. What does he say here? Have rachmanis. You see, it is unbelievable. Moshe's emes, as we can see. Truth has a way where your emotions don't, it's not the emotions that are running the show, it's what's right. The Korach and his men don't deserve rachmanis, but the rest of the Jewish people, Moshe feels they do. And that's what we're going to discuss next week, what happened here. It's a very beautiful, and it's a very beautiful pasuk, and we'll see also a beautiful arachim, but I have to leave, time is up, but Mirza Hashem. So next week we'll have a shir, I think it will be the last one.